Wake up, sleeperheads! It's time to talk to the pros! Hey, yo! What's up, everybody? It's me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and welcome to Fantasy Pros. It is me, it is Dan Harris, and it's you, and this is Fantasy Pros, the home of fantasy sports. We got a great MLB show for you today. It's the all-sleeper team, that's right. Everybody loves a good sleeper, even though I always say the internet has killed the idea of sleepers, and most of the time, they end up becoming more expensive and more trouble than they're worth, but Dan Harris and I have dug deep. We've gone into the mines, and we've come out with some names that we think are actually still sleepers, can actually still help you, and we'll talk about those. We'll go position by position and give you our all-sleeper teams. We're also going to do a little mailbag, answer your questions. We got a lot of questions today, so we're going to try to get to as many as possible. We're very popular here on the show, and we're also going to do a little Would You Rather, a new game that is sweeping the nation. Dan Harris, I hope you got a good night's rest, my friend, because there's no more sleeping on the rest of these guys we're going to talk about, and I'm done. I'm done with all the dad jokes, maybe, at least for this first segment.
I get a little nervous, by the way, when there are segments that I don't fully know about. I don't know about Would You Rather. I don't know where our mailbag is, so I'm going to be flying blind here, except with the sleepers. And, by the way, I hate the hate on the sleepers. Like, sleepers, however you want to define them, I think they're people who are probably likely to outperform their draft position, and I got a ton of them. I'm ready to go. I love this episode. Let's do it.
And I just want to let everybody know, we've got a really cool article up, the consensus sleepers from 25 experts for 2021 over on Fantasy Pros. So if you want to hear some more sleeper names, or you just want to take a shot every time I say the word sleeper, Dan says it, well, you're going to be hammered by the end of this show,
but it's going to
be
it.
It's going to be a good time if you do. Okay. But again, when you wake up and you sober up, go to fantasypros.com and again, go to the consensus sleepers from 25 experts for 2021. And I also want to remind everybody, big goings on tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow, Fantasy Baseball Fest. Oh my goodness. It's going to be amazing. Dan Harris, Joe Pizzapia, 4 hours for you. You go to youtube.com/fantasypros MLB. Again, that's the YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros MLB. It's very easy to remember. We've got an incredible list of guests. Chris Meany, Ariel Cohn, Nick Pollock, Alex Fast, Alex Slow. We've got all the people. We've got, who else? We got Justin Mason. We got Bogman and Welsh. We got Bubba. Eric Cross. Oh my God. I can't even remember. It's so good. Too we many. Got so many. I remembered almost everybody. I feel
very
like.
Good. Very
Not
good.
Not bad. Not bad. But tomorrow, 12 to 4 Eastern, forget it. Just if your job wants you to be around, just take the afternoon off. Spend it with us. Get ready for your fantasy season. It's very easy. Just go over there to the Fantasy Pros MLB channel and click subscribe and then click that little notification button too. And it's going to be a live stream. We'll get in there. Who knows? Maybe we'll even take questions or do stuff. I don't want to make Chris, our video guy's head explode, but you know,
I do.
It's going to,
I like doing that.
I know you do, but it's, you know, okay. God bless Chris. I just want to give a shout out to Chris, who is doing a phenomenal job setting up that whole thing. So, Chris, I know you're not listening. You're fast-forwarding through this whole video as we're doing it here. But regardless, I'm going to thank you because you're doing a great job setting us up. So it's going to be a fantastic 4 hours. Bogman and Welsh for an hour with Dan Harris and myself. It doesn't get much better than that, let me tell you. So
yeah,
make
and
sure
don't forget,
you're
by the way, giveaways. We are giving away autographed memorabilia from Pristine Auction. Super easy to enter. You can go to my Twitter profile, DanHarris80. I have put the link up there. You can go there, enter. Super easy to win. We will be giving away live on the stream autographed memorabilia, so don't forget to sign up.
And speaking of giveaways, Daniel, we'll also, Pristine Auction still doing a little giveaway here. So if you go over to Fantasy Pros, and obviously we've got the Pristine Auction going on for, what's the giveaway? The Juan Soto jersey, that's right.
That's correct.
So what you're going to do is FantasyPros/MLB contest. And what you do is you go and you leave your review. We've been talking about this for weeks now. You should know the drill. You should have done it. But in case you haven't, now's the time. Go there, do it. Go to Apple Podcasts or CastBox and go write a review, a glowing review, of course, of Dan and myself and how much fun we are and how much you enjoy the show. Boom, you go, you fill out the form, you click submit, you upload the picture, and you are entered to win this thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. So great opportunity. Big things going on here today.
Yeah.
And it's just very exciting. So again, FantasyPros/MLB FantasyPros.com/MLB contest. That's where it all goes down for that Juan Soto autographed jersey. So, Dan, we've done all the housekeeping.
Yes.
We've done all the hype. I feel like Flavor Flav here. I've just been hyping the heck out of this thing, and I'm very excited for the Fantasy Fest. But before we get to that, that's tomorrow. Today is about sleepers. So yes. How do you define sleepers? And you sort of talked about it a little bit, but are you somebody that really is just like, it doesn't have to be a young player, right? It can be an old player. It could be, you know, a player that you just like the change of scenery, right? That just people haven't, in your opinion, been respecting what the ADP or the ECR.
Yeah. I mean, I think a sleeper is kind of in the eye of the beholder a little bit, but mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, for the most part, it's a guy who I think can vastly outperform his ADP. And again, at Fantasy Pros, we have consensus ADP. So you can look at where he is going across five or six sites. And basically what we like to do is I took a look at that and I said, you know what? This, I either have a guy ranked much higher than where he's going in ADP, or it's just I'm not that much higher on him, but I think that there is a legitimate chance that he could outperform his ADP by a good 50, 60 spots. So that's what I was looking at. You'll see, you mentioned it. It's not all the young, you know, cool kids or anything like that. I got some guys who are like, this is probably the last year of his career. Sleeper. So it's going to be all over the place for me.
Well, Dan and I are definitely the young, cool kids. I mean, I think that's usually the group that we end up with. So look, let's start with catcher because I want to get it out of the way. Everybody knows how I feel about catcher in fantasy. I'm not going after it, but this is important because both of the guys here on the list that you're going to hear, my catcher and Dan's, are both catchers that actually that I have in leagues. I don't know if Dan's got both yet, but you're going to start with your catcher. So Dan, who is your sleeper catcher for 2021?
So there's nothing that screams sleeper other than taking a guy who is probably going to retire after this year. That's what like screams it out, right? For me at catcher, it's Buster Posey. So look, there's a lot to dislike about Buster Posey. He didn't play last year. Of course, he opted out. He had adopted twins, I believe, and with the COVID-19. The year before, a 688 OPS and seven homers. The year before, 741 OPS and five homers. He's 34 years old, but you mentioned it, Joe, all your catchers stink, right? There, mm-hmm. You can't find that young, really cool catcher that nobody's talking about. It's going to be amazing. Like, they don't exist. Nope. Maybe Alejandro Kirk. So for me, it's a guy, Posey, who, again, his ADP is a little higher than I expected. He's the 14th catcher off the board. That's basically where I have him. I have him a few spots higher in the overall. So it's a little weird. But the reason I like him as a sleeper is a few things. Number one, I give him a minor bit of a pass for the decline in 2018 and 2019 because he was bothered by his hip. He had hip surgery, so I think it's going to come back a little bit. Number two, he did take the year off. Just a little bit of a refresher for a guy who is nonstop catching for his entire career. Third, again, this is his swan song. This is last year with the Giants. It's probably the last year of his career. He'll be 34. And fourth, again, they made changes to Oracle Park. We saw it last year. It's become a little bit less of a pitcher's haven. So again, when you put that all together, I'm not targeting him, running after him to get him, but I would be fine rolling with him as my only catcher in a single catcher format.
Yeah, I'm actually in agreement with you. I'm surprised that your boy Alejandro Kirk wasn't the one of choice.
Yeah, I'm worried about his playing. The Blue Jays have added so many guys right now that I'm like terrified to start any Blue Jay.
But Danny Jansen hasn't hit a single ball, I feel like, all spring so far.
But
so.
I worry about Kirk's defense a little bit, just how much they're going to be able, because they've got offense, right? They've got a lineup all up and down. If Jansen and or Reese McGuire, like if their defense is good enough, I worry it keeps Kirk off the field a little bit. But yes, he's certainly, if to the extent, Joe, that we're talking about, people think about sleepers and they want the young, exciting person who could blow up, it is Kirk. But for me, I'll go with the geriatric and Buster Posey.
All right, I could make a Reese McGuire who's got his hands full this spring, but a joke that I'm not going to do it. All right, let's move on here. Catcher for me, Dalton Varsho. I remember winning a league one year with Pablo Sandoval as a qualifying catcher, not playing catcher. I remember winning a league one year with Josh Willingham qualifying a catcher. There's a name from the past, right? But he didn't play catcher that year. No. Yep. Played in the outfield, a little third base, a little this, a little that. I like these kind of guys because guess what? At the end of the day, everyday catchers don't get everyday at-bats anyway. So even if Dalton Varsho doesn't play every day, and the good news for him is that there's an early injury here that's going to open up some playing time potentially for him early in the season with Cole Calhoun on the shelf. So Dalton Varsho can hit. It's just a matter of can they find opportunities for him, and I'm sure more injuries will crop up. It is baseball, hopefully not to Dalton Varsho. But as a second catcher, I think you could do a lot worse in those two catcher leagues of taking a shot on a guy with a bat is live, and it's a good chance he's not going to be playing too much catcher, but maybe he will catch there and now and again, and that's good enough for me to roll the dice and take a shot, Dan.
I look, you're talking two catcher leagues. I'm okay with him in one catcher league because you mentioned it, though. I got worried when they signed Estrubel Cabrera, right? Because I was like, okay, if he's going to play, then Ketel Marte is going to the outfield. Varsho's going to get squeezed out a little bit. But you're right. The Cole Calhoun injury. Now, this is not like a crazy long-term thing. It's a 4 to 6 week prognosis for him. So he could be back in maybe mid-April, maybe late April. But until then, I think Varsho is just going to play in the outfield. And that's gold. He's got a little bit of speed. So I love him as a call. He probably would have been my guy if you hadn't stolen him first. But even in one catcher leagues, Joe, I'm really even okay with him there.
Yeah, I think he's got some upside there. And if he hits right away, why would you take him out of the lineup, Arizona? Yep. Answer, you wouldn't. All right, first base is a new Rocky who's got some pop. And this is a player that I've always had some shares on of the down low every year. I always find, you know, you and I see a lot of these guys the same. And it's CJ Krohn. And look, you drop him in Colorado, what's not to like?
This is like the quintessential Colorado signing, right? We've got 8 million young kids. We are going to win 60 games this year. Let's sign a veteran. By the way, let's also have Greg Bird on the roster as well with like, let's put one of these guys at first base. That's what they're doing. So Joe, we do see eye to eye. This is funny, Joe, because like I knew you obviously before you started working here full time, but we never really talked baseball that much. So
the fact
that we happen to see eye to eye in a lot of guys is really good. Krohn is a guy who I think last year everybody kind of liked as the sleeper. He wound up playing just 14, 15 games because he hurt his knee. But the year before, a 15% barrel rate in 2019, that was top 5% in the league. He had a 544 expected slugging percentage. That was top 9% in the league. So full season, you put him in a neutral park. He is a 30 homer bet and he's going to be in Colorado. So what's not to like? Now, my guess is he does not finish the year in Colorado, right? They are not going to compete. I'm sure they'll sell off whatever they can, but he's slated to bat fifth right now. And Joe, you can get him off the board as the 20th first baseman in consensus ADP. Wait. Did I say 20? I'm sorry. I meant 30th. The 30th first baseman. Wait. Did I say 30th?
But that's not all.
I meant 40th. 40th first baseman in consensus ADP. What is that? This is a guy who, like, I mean, look, he signed a minor league deal, so maybe people were like, I don't really know. I don't really fully buy it. Maybe it's not going to happen. No. He's playing first base for the Rockies. He is the 40th first baseman in consensus ADP. I love him. I'm scooping him up late in every draft.
I love it. The Rockies said, wow, Daniel Murphy's retiring. Where can we find a guy who can't play defense and will clog up all the young talent? I mean, CJ Krohn's available.
It's crazy.
By the way, for everybody listening to the show, name me another podcast you're going to listen to today that's going to mention Josh Willingham and Greg Bird. Can't do it. Just telling you right now, you can't do it. All right, my first baseman is Andrew Vaughn. And once again, somebody who's really kind of just not getting enough attention, in my opinion. This guy is a for real legit bat. He is also in a unique position because he's going to play a little first base, but mostly going to DH, probably out of the gate here for the White Sox. And if you're looking for lineup protection, you're looking for a young kid who can develop without any pressure on him, it's Andrew Vaughn. He's got power. He's got average potential. But even in this rookie season, if he just hits for power and ends up something like 250 and drops you 25 home runs, man, you will take that at the current ADP that he's going at. And I think that's something to always keep in mind. And when you're always looking for power towards the end of drafts, you know, we've talked about Kyle Schwarber. We've talked about some guys that tend to linger late. Krohn's another one. Guess what? Andrew Vaughn is also one, too. And who knows? You never know. Sometimes these certain kids, they just pop right away, especially those advanced college bats. So Andrew Vaughn is my first base sleeper for you. So a little bit of the trendy young guy here. But of all the trendy young guys, I feel like he doesn't get nearly the attention as like the Kalenics of the world and some other players like that have gotten far more buzz going into the spring. And I know he's hurt already and everything like that. But still, that's one for me that is not getting enough credit. Now, second base, Dan, not good. So we need some sleepers there. We need some names. And we need some players and maybe a little bit of speed. Maybe a guy hitting at the top of the order, maybe. So you find anybody that kind of fits that description, maybe?
I do, but before we go there, I need to make one point on Vaughn, which is a great call, by the way. Great call. Sorry to hold this up. I mentioned the consensus ADP before, right? So that's going to show once or twice, because it's important, because it's one of my favorite things to look at when we're on the site. You go across, he's got a 249.2 consensus ADP across all sites. Okay, so you're like, okay, that's pretty good. But if you go and you check out the various sites that populate the consensus ADP, on Yahoo, he's 359. So he's like totally free. You go to You go to CBS, though, he's 186. So this is something where if you're drafting on CBS, you're going to have to pull the trigger a little early on. I think it's worth it because I agree. A polished college bat, don't worry about the minor league numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, go get him. But that is something where check the consensus ADP, check where you are drafting, because 100%. I do think necessarily it's going to be a little different.
And I think that's a great point. I always talk about this in the Black Book, too, is – you know, this is why making your own rankings is so important, or having rankings that you like to use, and whether it's my kind of relative position value stuff or the rankings of Fantasy Pros, what you can do is then take that and compare and make your own little cheat sheets for Yahoo, for CBS, for wherever your host site is, NFBC, and you can find some of these values. And that's kind of how you beat the board, because even though everybody else in your league might be very astute and ready to go, they're not trained on the site. Training on the host site that you're playing on is very important because it allows you to find the players you can wait an extra round on and grab somebody else instead, or vice versa, the ones you can't. So now answer my second base question.
So sorry. Kidding.
I'm kidding about that. It's nothing but love here.
It's Colton Wong who joins the Brewers. And again, for me, he's just a guy who I always took Colton Wong late, right? Because mm-hmm. when he is healthy, he's like a 10 homer, 20, 25 steal guy. The Brewers, like, he's going to play, obviously, all the time regardless because of his defense. But they moved Keston Hira. They were like, sorry, Keston Hira, you're going to first base right now. We've got to make room for Colton Wong. Look, if healthy, he's a guy who, especially when you're playing in Miller Park, he's going to be 10, 15 homers. He's going to get a little power boost. And he's got the speed still to steal 15 to 20 bases. He's just really, really cheap. He's going to be batting near the top of the lineup. So for me, I'll take Colton Wong all day.
All right, I'm going to go with Ty France of the Mariners, another free square guy.
Yep.
And spring training numbers, whatever. But he is tearing up spring training. And he also is a guy that has a pretty good minor league track record. So this isn't new. So basically, he's just got to play his way this spring. And spring is important, or should I say more important for some players than others. And I think it's more important for a player like Ty France in particular, who is kind of trying to carve out this role. They acquired him last year, and there's an opportunity now for France to kind of say, hey, I can be an everyday player somewhere for you. And the Jared Kelenic injury I mentioned earlier opens up potentially a little April, May action for him where there might be a need in the outfield or somewhere else for him. So he qualifies at second, probably outfield in your league as well. You might be able to play him in different spots. He's got a 2.132 OPS right now in spring. It's something insane where it's got a 2 in front of it. Okay, that's how good he's been for the first week. He's got 3 bombs already. He's hitting everything that's been thrown at him. And for a player like France, it's important. So this is a spring that matters. Not all springs are equal in that sense. But in this case, Ty France is really making a statement here and an opportunity for him to play with the Mariners, who are an organization that has to start to show some of this rebuild at the major league level. Some of these young players have to come up and start playing well. Mm-hmm. And I imagine at some point this year, you're going to see the rest of these guys. But right now, I think you're going to see France. So once again, Dan, a free square player, multi-eligibility, opportunity, and a pretty good bat in the minor leagues. That's a good combination of things I like.
For sure. And, you know, you go back to 2019, whatever his ridiculous, you know, 27 homers in 76 games, like a 1,200 OPS. Was just nuts. And again, this is a guy who, I mean, you mentioned it, consensus ADP of 344 on CBS 437. Like, you have to create a new league to draft him so that you can go deep enough to do it. He's a free square. I agree with you, by the way. The Kelenic injury, I really think, opens up a spot, whether it's could be a DH, could be somewhere, but he will play. So I love it as a late guy. You have to
open up a new league.
You do. You have to start a new league. Be like, I'm going to have a 40-team league that's going to go 700 rounds, and now somebody in CBS will take time.
It's a 40-team league. You got to start 8 catchers. And it's going to be great. It's going to be super fun. It's going to be really challenging. All right, third base, where are you going?
I'm going to Austin Riley and only Mrs. Riley. I'm sorry, you got that?
Watched My Cousin Vinny with my kids for the first time for them to see, not for me, obviously.
Obviously. Fact that you get that reference is why I am so glad that we
By the way, I think it's time for a thicker pair.
Somebody who was a lawyer for 15 years, actually a great legal movie in terms of like explaining the way things work. But I digress. I'm talking about Austin Riley. I know we've talked about him before, Joe, so I don't want to dwell too much about it because really the big thing is last year he's got prodigious power. He had a 70 power grade, but he came up, he had all the homers, but he struck out 36.4% of the time, traded off a little power before contact last year, 23.8% strikeout rate. So that was much better. And again, you saw his contact percentage on pitches in the zone, which is key. It went from 73.5% in 2019 to 82.3% last year. That is a nice change for him. And again, just 8 homers in the shortened season, not that good, but he was battling a quad injury. He was just talking about it. He missed the last couple of games of the season with it. He said it was bothering him for most of the season. So if he can keep the gains that he made in contact, I think the power is coming back in a big way. I love him. I have been drafting him pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, Austin Riley is a very highly rated prospect, and he had some great numbers at AAA. Came up, tore the cover off the ball, we remember a couple years ago, and then the league adjusted to him. He did not adjust back. So he was all power and yep. nothing else. And then, like you're saying, last year kind of tried to split the difference a little bit, or at least go back to a little bit more contact. If he can kind of continue to grow, and he's still a young player, there's no reason to think he can't then find everything, put everything together. They didn't try to bring in somebody else to compete with him. There's nobody else now. It's Austin Riley's job. And I think that's very important for any young player to know that it's their gig and they don't have to look over their shoulder. Yep. And let me just tell you, my cousin Vinny completely holds up still. You know, some movies you love as in your youth and you go back, or your two youths and you love and you go back and you watch again and you're like, yeah, this doesn't really hold up quite as much. Not my cousin Vinny. It is not,
by the way, the number of times that I will say, like, once I get like my son Will to admit to something, I'll just say, I got no more use for this guy. I say that all the time. And I just leave.
I'm done with this guy.
I'm finished with this guy. All right. Who are you not finished with,
your
though?
Your clock.
Who are you not finished with at third base, Joe? Because the guy you're going to mention here is a guy I like a lot. I'll be honest.
I don't like it when you try to put me back on task. All
right. Sorry. I keep you
Hunter
going.
Hunter Dozier's my guy at third base. Look, go back to look. It's not that long ago, okay? You don't need a time machine to go back into 2019 and see a good player, okay? Last year, small sample size. Everybody prepared or didn't prepare differently. I am not going to buy too much into the failures there. What I am going to buy into the fact is they threw some money at him, okay? So Hunter Dozier is going to be around. Hunter Dozier, they believe in. If the organization believes in him, then you should believe in him. Once again, first base, third base. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear me now? I like all of these guys who have position eligibility, because if you're playing in those ridiculous daily transaction leagues that I hate, this is a guy you want to have. If you're playing in leagues that, you know, just are really deep, this is a guy you want to have, because you're going to need that flexibility as guys go on the IL, and inevitably they will. So Hunter Dozier, I believe, is somewhere around a 265 hitter. I believe Hunter Dozier can give you somewhere around 20 home runs. I think 80-80 is reasonable, or somewhere in that vicinity. If he does all that, once again, what an incredible return on investment Dozier is, Dan.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We've talked about him a little bit before. By the way, one of the things we do, if you look on ECR ADP, is that they'll clip, our producers who are great, will clip videos of the podcast of us talking about various players. So Dozier's a guy who I'm right there with you. And the fact that they gave him that long-term deal really means a lot to me, mm-hmm. because I think that they are very much of a, we're throwing out what we saw last year. We believe in what we saw in 2019. Frankly, so do I. So I like the multi-position.
And they're
eligibility.
Good talent evaluators, yes. in Kansas City.
Correct.
Let's think about Whit Merrifield. Let's think about how they acquired Soler and got the best out of him that nobody else could. You know, the list kind of goes on and on. So they know what they're doing at KC. They just don't have the budget everybody else does. Yep. And I think that's something to pay attention to also.
And I like them as a sneaky, like we've talked about it, the offense. I love the like small under the, I thought adding Benintendi as the back, as sort of a bounce back guy was great. Carlos Santana is a really sort of cheap option. Soler still has power. They've got Mondesi. They've got Merrifield. They've got kind of a sneaky, decent lineup. So yeah. Dozier should provide value this year.
All right. Shortstop for you. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to read some numbers for you on this guy. Okay. 636, 699, 748, 809. Do you notice a trend in those numbers?
That is my credit score from college till now.
Oh, well, that's good. Good for you.
I don't know. I'm just trying to keep up with you.
It is just a number that is trending up, and it is Dansby Swanson's OPS over the last 4 years. So look, Swanson's a guy who I'm always like, Dansby Swanson. I don't know. Whatever. Dansby Swanson. But I started looking into him, and I really, really like that it is consistent improvement, and not just in a total number that's with an OPS. He has made consistent improvements in just his quality of contact. He is improving his launch angle, which is basically translating into more home runs. I mean, last year he had 10 home runs in 60 games. I mean, he's not a 30 home run hitter, but he can be a 25 home run hitter without a problem. And he is in the 90th percentile in sprint speed. So again, you saw the big power jump. He can steal more bases than he's basically been like a 10 steal a season type guy. But he can, if he pushes the limit and he wants to, he could go 25-20. And the batting average is something that I've looked at, because I look at, we have Zeal, we call our projections at Fantasy Pros Zeal projections based on Todd Zeal. They're consensus projections. They take projections from all around the industry and they basically average them out like our expert consensus rankings. They have him batting 258, and we talked about Ariel Cohen, his ATC projections, very accurate. They have him batting 256, so right around the same way. But he batted 274 last year, Joe. In the last 2 years, his expected batting average has been 266 and 271. So I think he's going to be closer to like a 270 hitter than a 250, you know, high 250s hitter. And in that case, a 270 hitter in this day and age who could potentially go 25-15, maybe 25-20 in a good year, that's somebody who, you know, I think it's not like he's a low-end, really low-end sleeper, but I think he could really kind of burst into superstardom this year if everything goes right.
I think Dansby Swanson is still paying for not being good out of the chute. Still. Yeah. I think when you look at the ADP, when you look at the ECR, and you can check that out over at fantasypros.com under MLB rankings, you just click the MLB tab and then you go down there and you go 2021 rankings, it's right there. You'll see it. And I think certain players like Dansby Swanson, when they are number one overall pick, there comes a certain expectation. When they don't live up to that expectation year after year, and then they start to, people all of a sudden stop noticing and stop caring, or they refuse to buy into it. And I think you make a great point where even if it's not quite that the high end that you threw out the second time, even if it's something around that first one you threw out, that's great. That's a great return. And I think he's just paying, unfortunately, for the sins of the past, which shouldn't be the case anymore for him. I think he's proven enough in the last two seasons. But had he played a full season this year and been good, I think it would have been different. But because it was only 60 games, it's suppressed his value a little
bit. It's not his fault Dave Stewart traded him for like $2 million or whatever it was in that trade.
And Shelby Miller.
Was like, what?
$2 million and Shelby Miller.
That's right.
That's what it was.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Shelby Miller. Oh my God. That's another guy not mentioned on any podcast today. All right. My shortstop is Andrés Giménez of the now Cleveland baseball team. And let me tell you something. From a Met fan, just telling you, Amed Rosario does not hit good pitching. Okay? I've watched enough Amed Rosario. Amed Rosario is a shortstop. He's not that great, okay? I think Cesar Hernandez is still going to be the everyday second baseman there, so I really think it's a man, and apparently Cleveland's already kind of putting out feelers there if anybody wants Rosario. It seems like Giménez was the guy that they wanted, and also Amed Rosario is closer to arbitration, so it's something that they kind of want to move, you know, if they can before they have to pay him. So Giménez, on the other hand, I think this is a player that's got a lot of spark to him, okay? He might not have the big-time power bat, he's got a little bit more pop than you realize. Probably a good doubles hitter. Makes good contact. Has good speed. Good defender. He's a player I've watched many, many times in the minor leagues as a Met fan. I can tell you right now, when he came up last year, it was not a fluke. He's a very tough player. Very hustle player. He's the kind of guy that does the little extra things, and it shows up in the box score. And I like that about Giménez. And I think Cleveland's going to like that about him too. So I would kind of circle him, especially in those roto formats, as a late middle infield guy or even a late bench guy that I think has some upside in the stolen bases, maybe some good contact, better average than you think, hit for some doubles. Again, he's not going to hit 25 home runs, probably not going to hit 20. If he hits 10, okay. But look, Giménez is a lot better than people realize. And I think you just really just kind of scratched the surface of him last year.
Yeah, my hesitation with him was he going to start over Rosario? But it seems pretty clear if you're reading the tea leaves that he is, and he's just fast.
And he could lead off, too. There's some grumblings about they like him as a leadoff guy. Now, here's the thing. Now's the time to draft him in these early drafts because some people will still have that same thought process that Dan put out there, where Rosario might be the guy, might hurt him. And what happens is ADP goes further and further and further, and it just continues to be suppressed. It's a 6-month season, guys. It's a long time. At some point, Giménez is going to be relevant, and I think he's worth some draft capital.
And the big thing is, really, he's the 94th percentile in sprint speed. He'll steal 30 if he gets there. Even if he bats ninth, he's still going to sprint. You know, he's going to steal a lot of bags. So
very quick.
If you can get him anywhere you want, I'd like it as well.
Outfield. On to the outfield sleepers. Dan, you've got three. So we'll take them one at a time here. Where are you starting with your outfielders?
I'm starting back in Colorado for a guy who's not that exciting, and it's Raimel Tapia. I mean, I've mentioned him again before, but, you know, guys like Michael Brantley, super valuable because they provide batting average. They give you that floor so you can spend your late picks on somebody who, you know, it maybe will hurt your batting average but will help you in steals. Tapia's a guy who's going super late, but he's also going to help you in batting average. He's probably going to steal 15 to 20 bases. He's going to hit close to 10 home runs. He's going to score 70 to 80 runs. He's moved up a bit lately, but he's still just 235th in ADP. And again, if you're on Yahoo, can I interest you in an ADP of 377? He's basically free there. So I would certainly take him there. But he's a guy who I'm drafting late just for a little batting average and steals filler.
All right. And then you've got Alex Kirilloff next on your list from Minnesota. So are you worried at all about, you know, the learning curve here, or you think it's just time now for Kirilloff to kind of take off with the Twins?
I think his bat plays. I think there's really, you look at his projections, right? I looked at his ZEAL projections, 271, 14 homers, 6 steals, and like 110 combined runs in RBI. So that's not something that's blowing your socks off, right?
No.
But that is projecting him for like 110 games. I mean, I really think in the end, Joe, that he's going to play a minimum of 130 games, really for two reasons. I can see him going down to the alternate side, I guess, since there are no minor leagues or whatever, for, you know, until they gain the extra year of control. But they've got to win the division, number one. And we just did the Betting Pros American League win totals over under. Go subscribe to that at Betting Pros. And Joe, you had the White Sox winning 8,000 games.
8,000 games, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're going exactly to have to put in their best foot forward. And their best foot forward, I hate to say it, is not Jake Cave in left field. It's just not Kirilloff, whatever he's going to provide. His gloves a little weak, but his bat plays. So if he does play 130 games, that's like a 20 homer, 10 steal type of bat. And that's somebody who I think can really play. So I think he's going to be up earlier. I think he's going to be a fine value. I moved him ahead of Kelnick. I mean, even if Kelnick was going to play, I'd prefer Kirilloff at this point.
I'll tell you what, I think it's something teams have to think about if the AAA season's not starting till, what, late May, I believe it is.
Yep.
They have to really think about, is it worth that whole idea to have this player kind of, you know, just hang out and play B games for a month and a half? Is that really the best thing for this young player, or should they just bite the bullet and take the kid with them? I'm starting to feel like they should take the kid with them. And
that's
the last
right.
guy on your list is Mitch Haniger, who I've been a stan for many, many years. And unfortunately, you know, he's had some injuries and some issues. So is it time now to throw a dart on Mitch Haniger again for you?
For sure. Because number one, we're never going to talk about his injury ever. We're not just not going to talk about it because we're men, and talking about that injury hurts me in places I don't want to be hurt. But like, I mean, he's played 63 games over the last two seasons, but when he was last healthy, 285, 26 homers, 90 runs, 93 RBI, and 8 steals. Like, he is a guy who can hit. He's probably going to bat second. It does not all need to be upside when you're drafting super late. 260.2 in consensus ADP. Again, 298 on CBS, 381 on Yahoo. He's basically free. He's a guy, Joe, we talk about this a lot. Guys, like, you're wondering, what could this player be? We know what Mitch Haniger can be. We talk about it with Robles. We've seen it. We've seen it happen. So I will take a guy this late, even though he's a veteran who we've seen, we know what he can do.
And look, I think, especially in deeper leagues, it's worth taking shots on guys like this. Even if it's for your bench. I mean, you can draft Haniger as a bench outfielder in most leagues and just kind of see what happens there. All right, my outfield is going to start with Alex Dickerson, who had a really good season last year. And ironically, is a player that if you go back and look at the minor league track record in my 24-team dynasty league, I drafted him years ago as a minor leaguer, and he always hit. The problem was he was always blocked by somebody wherever he was. And he started out years ago, I want to say, was it the Pittsburgh? Yeah, it was a Pittsburgh system. He was blocked by LaRoche. That's how long ago this guy's been playing. Okay, he was blocked there. Then after that, he bounced around. I think he bounced around in San Diego. He went for a while, and now he's in San Francisco. So he's never really had the clear-cut path to playing time. And the one time where he did, he got hurt. And then I would say in the last year and a half, this was a player that he's only 30. I mean, he's, you know, I'm just saying, like, sometimes it just is the bad combination of no opportunity. Sometimes it's a bad combination of getting the opportunity and getting hurt. And Dickerson showed you that he can put the ball in play. He's got a little bit of pop. He can take a walk. Got a decent OBP, decent batting average. He's one of these bats that also, because he plays on a poor team, kind of gets pushed aside. You know, it's a lot of, you know, you mentioned Posey before. Wilmer Flores had a good season last year. Really low ADP. Alex Dickerson. There's a lot of guys on bad teams, and the Giants are not a good team this year, at least not on paper, that, you know, they just kind of don't have value to the masses, but that doesn't mean they can't have value to you. And even in a head-to-head points league, Alex Dickerson's going to fill the box sheet. Like, he's going to do all right. Brandon Nimmo is second to me because I have to stay on brand. So Brandon Nimmo is my second outfielder. 400 OBP, top of the order, got some power. I think he's going to score 100 runs. I really do. I think you could lock that in. And if he does that, man, what an incredible return on investment he is. I'm disappointed that between the two of us, Benintendi wasn't on there. I thought he would be on one of ours. My third guy on my list is Willie Calhoun, who everybody was in love with Willie Calhoun last year, and then he got hit in the face with a ball right before the pandemic shut everything down. So everybody was so bummed because he was one of everybody's favorite late round power source guys. Oh, Willie Calhoun. Yeah, maybe he'll hit 240, but he's going to hit 35 bombs, right? Well, what's changed? Nothing. It's still his job. They still need him in the middle of this order. The new Texas ballpark, especially when the roof is closed there, plays very well for offensive players. So Willie Calhoun, some cheap power. Brandon Nimmo, some cheap runs scored, a little bit of stolen bases, brilliant in OBP leagues. And Alex Dickerson, a guy who you could just draft and just plays. Like, the guy just hits. And it's not sexy, but not every pick is sexy. And that's what sleepers are supposed to be about. See, the sexy sleeper picks, those are the ones that are going to get you into trouble. And if you missed that episode yesterday with Casey Bubba, go back and listen to it on demand, wherever you get your podcast. But for these three guys, Dickerson, Nimmo, and Calhoun, any thoughts on all of them, one of them? What are your feelings? I need your feelings.
Yeah, so I mean, Dickerson especially is a guy who I'm like, I took a look at and I was like, oh, wow, I don't think I've given this guy enough credit for what he's been able to do. And he's basically a guy who I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, matches the 30 homer pace that he did last year. So he's pretty much free, 341 in drafts. Absolutely no problem with him. Willie Calhoun, another guy, totally back in on. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think Chris Davis is really going to threaten him at this point to take away the at-bats at DH at worst case. Nimmo's a guy, you know, Joe, you love Nimmo. And like, Nimmo's like a filler for me, but in OBP leagues, okay. But he just doesn't do anything. Like, he just like a 15-5 guy, maybe run. He'll lead off.
15-5 and 100 runs at that ADP?
If he plays 100 runs, I mean, if he gets 100 runs, because he's probably going to sit against some lefties, given the fact that they have, you know, Kevin Pillar, and that, you know, they have options out there that can hit left-handers. I could see him either being moved down in the lineup against lefties or being benched against lefties at some point.
He hits lefties.
I know.
He's going to play. You're just a self-loathing Met fan.
Hey, man.
And I'm trying to drag you out of it. We're self-loathing. Look, Carrasco's elbow. Look, when you saw that
already it's starting.
You know, you had the same thought I did. What? Here we go.
Yep.
There we go. This is why we can't have nice things, because we're preconditioned this way.
Yes.
All right. Willie Calhoun. Give me your thoughts on him.
I do like Willie Calhoun a ton. And again, everything that I like want from Willie Calhoun is there right now. Okay. Like a heralded prospect. Okay. He had kind of a rocky rise through the system, maybe battled some weight issues, got really serious about stuff, had a great 2019, 2020 completely derailed after he got hit in the face. He admitted he was still like flinching throughout most of last year. Then in the offseason, by the way, he worked with the hitting coach. I can never remember his name. Doug Latta, I think that's his name. The guy who worked with Turner and JD Martinez and just completely transformed their swing. He did work with him in the offseason. Every draft, Joe, I have not yet left the draft without Willie Calhoun. I'm not kidding, because he is basically free. He's in the 300s. He's free everywhere. This is a guy who everybody should draft everywhere, which is impossible because then, I don't know. But still, I am targeting him in every single league.
And take notice, everybody, when more than one analyst really likes players and you see them keep talking about the same guys, like we're both talking about Calhoun here, you know, take note of that. Circle those guys. Those are the guys that are going to help you. And, you know, we're trying to give everybody the best information we possibly can in order to go out there and crush. And when you see a consensus here from the experts, so to speak, no pun intended, it does matter. It does matter. Yep. See what I did there? Little ECR, huh? A little ECR from the EIC.
Well done. All right.
So your pitchers, give me a couple arms that are sleepers that everybody's sleeping on, because because they're so tired from all the drafting.
Yeah, sleepy sleeps. I'm going to give you three names here, okay? I'm going to start with Michael Pineda, 69th in ADP, 237th pick. Look, he's never going to be the version that the Yankees traded for, you know, traded Jesus Montero for, where you thought he was going to be an absolute superstar. But his career, his entire career, he walks two batters per nine innings. That's an elite rate. So you know that the whip, almost for sure, is never going to get out of control. It's in the last year of his deal here with the Twins. Guys who are going ahead of him are Paxton, who I'm iffy about, Zach Davies. I'll just take Pineda there. I think he's going to outperform that ADP, as I do John Means, who is 73rd in ADP. He is 62nd in the heart of Dan Harris. 4.53 ERA last year, tons of home runs, but he had a lot of adversity in the beginning of the year. He had some arm fatigue. Then his father died. That really affected him. He really picked it up at the end of the year. 1.52 ERA, 30 strikeouts over his last four starts. His velocity was up. His changeup was great. His command is borderline elite. He's the one pitcher, Joe, that we talked about that we can A, name, and that we think B, might have some fantasy value on the Orioles. And finally, it's Albert Alzolay. I think it's Alzolay, by the way. I hear broadcasters say Alzolay and Alzolay, so I apologize if I am mispronouncing it. I loved him when he debuted in 2019. He had some limited work last year. He was really good. His fastball sits 95. He's got that elite slider. He's super confident. He is ready to go out there. He's got some control issues. I understand. I do not expect him to break camp with the majors. I don't think that he's going to be in the rotation to start. But again, you know, innings are concerned to the limit, but the Cubs rotation after Kyle Hendricks is just gross. Arrieta, Davies, Mills, Williams. Yeah. It's not going to happen there. Stop trying to make that happen. So they'll call him up eventually, and I expect him to really, really be an impact fantasy pitcher as soon as he gets the call-up. That could be a month into the season. So he could be somebody who might not be drafted. You might leave him out there, but I would rather draft him and stash him for probably a month, maybe a little longer, and then I think I'm putting him in my rotation at the end of the, as soon as he comes up, and I think he's a set-it-and-forget-it type of pitcher.
All right, here's my pitchers for your sleeper lists, starting with Domingo Germán, because he still hasn't given up a run yet in the spring, okay? Five innings, seven strikeouts, no runs, two hits. Domingo Germán, look, it's spring, you don't overrate the spring. Yes, I hear you, I understand that. But for Germán, it's important. This is an important spring. He won 18 games a couple years ago. He's going to be playing potentially for the Yankees with huge run support. That's another big check in his box, okay? Domingo Germán is also a guy you can count on for innings, and that's something the Yankees need desperately in that rotation. Therefore, I think he's worth your draft capital. I think you should be investing in him off of this spring, because all he had to do is show you that he is healthy and ready to go, and hopefully has put all of his negative things in the past in the past. Next is Eliezer Hernandez. And look, I'm telling you right now, I know it was a small sample last year, but that was a dominant sample. I mean, this kid looks like the real deal. I love pitchers who have massive K walk ratios where it's just like 3-1, 4-1. Like, it gets me so excited, because those are the guys who aren't making mistakes. Those are the guys who aren't clogging the base paths with runners. And then that's going to limit them in terms of pitches, which limits their innings, which raises their ERA, which raises their whip. It's a downward spiral. Okay, guys who walk guys is a downward spiral. Pay attention to walk rates. They're important. K per nine is very important too. Pay attention to the walk rate. Also a very important thing. Hernandez has that. Look, I don't know how many innings he's got in the tank, but however far they're going to push him, even if you get 150, hooray. Like, that is spectacular. You should be thrilled if you get that out of him. He might be skipped a few times. We'll see how that works out. But it's the quality of innings I'm interested in when it comes to Hernandez. And I got two of my favorite old farts on this list next, okay? I got Madison Bumgarner, who looked fantastic first shot out of the gate. And yeah, I have been the do not draft Madison Bumgarner, he is DTM, for the last year and change. However, I read a little piece with Madison Bumgarner, a little interview. I don't know if you read the same interview. I think you did.
Yep.
And he seems like a guy who's pretty upset about how last year went. And look, he doesn't have the 95 anymore, but at 31 years old, I think he can figure out a way to get guys out again. And he is a free square right now. It is ridiculous. There's not a lot of pitchers headed for the Hall of Fame at 31 years old that are free squares. I'll take the free square with Bumgarner. Yeah, it might bite me. It might be terrible. I might have to make him a matchup guy. But if he has another good outing or two in spring, what do you think is going to happen to that ADP? It's going to skyrocket. Take him now while he's cheap. And the last guy is Rich Hill. Yeah, I'll only get 8 starts, but they'll be glorious when I get them. Mr. Blister himself, Rich Hill. Look, it's not about the innings. It's never going to be. Rich Hill is just an arm that I know is a quality arm. And here's another thing, too. Pitcher-friendly environment with Tampa. A team that knows what they're doing. A team just like we mentioned Kansas City. They identify talent. They know how to get the most out of their talent. So that's another guy for me. So any thoughts on Herman, Hernandez, Bumgarner, or Hill? I feel like you got a lot of feelings about Bumgarner and you want to pound me about it.
No, I got a lot of feelings actually on all of them. I will try to be brief. Herman, off the field stuff, obviously, we'll never talk about. He's in contention for the fifth starter's role. And you're right, the spring is big because he's in a battle. And we had a featured pros that came out. What's the battle, you know, the spring training battle that you're watching closely? The Yankees fifth starter won. I think he's going to win it over Devi Garcia for the reason, and I think that he's another guy who you can put in your, if he wins that job, he is a, I'm putting him in my lineup, I'm not worrying about the matchups. He's really good. I think that he's an absolute steal where he's going. I love Eliezer Hernandez as well. I agree with the innings concerns. He's adding a pitch. He's being drafted 271 behind, you know, Kwangyoung Kim and Jordan Who's Montgomery.
Been- Yeah, I mean, Kim has been terrible this spring.
What's his upside, by the way? He's going to strike out like three batters per nine innings. Like at that point, take Hernandez. I like Bumgarner. I did read that as well. What I really liked about his first start, everybody got really excited, right? All the swinging strikes, all the strikeouts in the first start.
He did strike out the side.
He struck out six batters. Yeah, I get it. But the thing that I liked about that was two things. Number one, his velocity was like touching 91,
yes.
Sitting 90. It was 88 last year, right? So Correct. Already we're like, okay, we're past that. Number two, tons of cutters and some curves and stuff. He is throwing his like off speed. He's going the CC Sabathia route, right? He's
right. Basically CC, being like Pedro.
Yeah,
when the velocity goes, you can still be pretty good.
And he's as smart a pitcher as there is. So absolutely. I do like him, and he is really, really, really free. Basically, the one guy who I have zero interest in is Rich Hill. Number one, I've done Rich Hill basically every single year for the last like 6 years, and it doesn't really work out. Bottom line is what I think is over under on his highest inning per start. 3.5. Will he throw more than three innings in any start this season? I think no. I think the Rays are basically like, you're going three innings, you're piggybacking three innings, you're going three innings. So I think there's going to be zero wins, and I think there's just going to be, you know, really not enough innings. So I'm just done with Rich Hill. I'm staying away. But the other three guys I'm in on.
All right, let's do the closers here real quick for you. Who is your sleeper for saves?
I mean, okay, so you can't go crazy for sleepers for saves because basically you've got like 10 guys who are actual closers and then everybody else. I was reminded when I thought of this guy, the line from Moneyball, which he says, the problem is there are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap and then there's us. And this is how I'm thinking about my guy, Brian Garcia of the Detroit Tigers. There are good relievers being drafted. Then there are bad relievers being drafted. Then there's 50 feet of crap. Then Brian Garcia is being drafted. And I'm not exactly sure I understand. I mean, his ADP, consensus ADP, 450th. So this is like, you are not being drafted.
He's in that alternate league.
You are not being drafted in any league that you can think of. And I'm not sure I understand why, because we are speculating on every closer situation, right? It's like, you've got 10 guys. I know you're the closer. Everybody else, I'm just sort of, you know, shooting blind or anything like that. You say it all the time, Joe, bad teams still get saves. Like, that's what you got. Garcia is the favorite.
They get a fair amount of saves because they're not blowing anybody out. They're not winning by 8 runs.
And he is the favorite. I don't care what anybody else says. He is the favorite for saves in that thing. Last year, I understand the 166 ERA, preposterous. Like he had a 557 FIP and he struck out 4 guys per 9. I don't really care about that. You know what I do care about? The 250 ERA, the 107 whip, and the 11.5 K per 9 that he did throughout his minor league career. You know when he was a closer? He was a closer all throughout the minor leagues. You know when else? In his college career. You know when else? Last year. Mm-hmm. He is the closer. The guys competing with him is Gregory Soto, who is a lefty, and then maybe Joe Jimenez, who had like an 8 ERA last year. It's just not going to happen.
It's over now. I mean, we are drafting. It's not happening.
We are drafting Greg Holland, who is a guy who will get saves.
What is
and
this
then
we?
Will be shipped off.
What is this
off.
We you talk about?
All right. Sorry. People.
Someone.
And he will be dealt middle season. As much as I like the Royals, I'm sure they're going to deal Greg Holland. We are drafting him 200 spots before we're even looking at Brian Garcia. I don't understand it. I have him ranked way higher. Not super high. I don't love him, but 450. Not being drafted. Brian Garcia is my sleeper. I don't understand. Take a look at him and then draft him.
All right. Mine is Hunter Harvey, another closer on a bad team. He'd been grooming him for this role for quite some time. He's healthy. He's been good this spring. I know he wasn't healthy last year.
Yeah.
But he's the guy there. I mean, he's been
Is
the
he?
Guy.
Is
he's
he?
The guy. He's the guy. And I'll tell you what, if you don't think he's the guy there, then go with Amir Garrett over in Cincinnati, because Lucas
That's
Sims
like.
Is hurt.
Yep.
And Amir Garrett has closer mentality, and Doolittle has been dreadful in the spring, okay? He's got like a 12 ERA so far this spring.
Now, Garrett hasn't pitched yet. You know, I actually didn't see that. He's got like a sore forearm. He's supposed to be okay. I'm still drafting him, but I do want to point that out because I know people are listening, but everybody else is just imploding. So they're just kind of clearing the road anyways. Like
Garrett. Choice. It's like, you come out and let us know. But Hunter Harvey, again, I mean, 25, 28 saves. Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be somewhere around there for him, and I will take it because it's free. Yeah. How about the free saves? Love free stuff, especially free saves. Just to recap, my team, Dalton Varsho at catcher, Andrew Vaughn at first, Ty France at second, Hunter Dozier at third, Andrés Giménez at short, Alex Dickerson, Brandon Nimmo and Willie Calhoun in the outfield, Domingo Germán, Eliezer Hernández, Bumgarner, and Rich Hill, of course, and Hunter Harvey. Those are the pitchers and the reliever. Dan's team, he's got Buster Posey at catcher, CJ Cron at first, Colton Wong at second, Austin Riley at third, Dansby Swanson at shortstop, Ramiel Tapia and in the outfield, Alex Kirilloff and Mitch Haniger join him, followed by John Mees, however you want to say Azulay's name, or Azulay. How do you want to say it today?
I'll say Azulay.
All right, good. And Michael Pineda, and then Brian Garcia, who we just discussed as his closer. So those are our sleeper teams. Let's get to your questions. Tommy D at it's Saul Good underscore man.
Yeah.
Twitter handle. Love this. How much do you take hot springs into account? I love a good hot spring. You go there, you feel really good. You kind of just cleanse yourself in the waters and you're ready for a new season. But he goes on, apparently, after that. To, like, for example, Justin Upton or somebody like that. Does it influence your draft strategy? I made a comment earlier about Ty France, about Domingo Germán. For some guys, spring is very important for me, Dan. And I think that's something, it's not important for everybody. Some guys just, like Zach Greinke, historically, always has the worst springs ever. Yep. I remember one year, Zach Greinke had like a 17 ERA and then he won the Cy Young that year. So it does not, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, I'm pretty close to what we're talking about.
Sure.
So for you, how do you look at spring? How do you kind of disseminate the numbers there?
Yeah, I think the overall feeling is to, generally speaking, ignore it for the most part. But we just talked about Madison Bumgarner, who completely off the radar, and you and I are both like, look at this. When a guy basically has increased velocity, that's something that I want to look at. When he is differentiating his pitch mix. I mean, we talked about Stroman, who we love. He has a new pitch. Let me see how it looks. Looks pretty good. I'm willing to buy into that. And the only other thing I'll look at a little bit is when a guy is making a concerted effort to improve a hitter. Concerted effort to improve his walk rate, right? If he's a big strikeout guy, he's not striking out a ton in the spring, he's walking more, maybe I'll let that factor in. For the most part, though, it's pitchers. If there's a change in velocity, if there are new pitches being added or change in pitch mix, that's when I'll factor it in. Other than that, I'm trying pretty hard, other than the battles for the job, I'm trying hard to ignore it.
All right, Chaboy 888 wants to know, how are you guys approaching closers? What rounds are you targeting them? They're in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. For me, first of all, you got to know, are there mandatory RP spots? If it's mandatory RP spots, that changes the dynamic a little bit. I would be aggressive on a better tier one and then let the rest come to me. Otherwise, in a 10-team head-to-head, I'm going to let this market come to me. I'm going to take the closers on bad teams and speculate and try to find it that way. Because saves can be arbitrary, especially week to week. It's one thing to try to accumulate them over time. It's another thing to try to accumulate them over a 7-day period. That's kind of like chasing your tail. Your thoughts about this?
And it's a head-to-head categories league, is that what you said?
That's correct.
Yeah, then I really don't care. In a head-to-head categories league, I first of all, I always try to get the starting pitchers as relief pitchers and just say, whatever, I don't really care about saves. I'll punt it every single week in that format. But for the most part, I'm not wasting any sort of remotely. Like, I'm willing to maybe take Hader or Hendricks in a roto league or something like that because of the fact that they're so locked in. But other than that, I am waiting as long as possible, and especially a head-to-head categories league, I'm not going to. Give me Brian Garcia. I'll take him all day long with my last pick and do that. So I would wait a long time in those leagues.
I love this next question, and I'm the guy to answer it. At Stick Stomper wants to know, you could put any current baseball player in the ring with one wrestler. Who would you choose and why?
Oh, yeah, that's you.
Of course. I'm the host of the In This Ring podcast, for God's sake. You like wrestling. Just had a new episode today, actually. But I think Juan Soto would be great. He's very kind of engaging. He's a big, strong guy. I think he would be really fun. Yeah. I think Tatis would be fun in the ring also. But if I'm going to book a match, I think I'd like, you know, a little Juan Soto, Roman Reigns would be all right. You know, because you want to put him at the top of the card. If you're going to do the gimmick match, you got to do it. Juan Soto's going to be the face. Everyone's going to like him because everybody hates Roman, even though he's doing great work right now. That would be decent. If you want to put maybe him and Tatis together as a tag team against Street Profits, that would be fun. I would enjoy watching that. Do you have anything you'd like to share on this question, Dan?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, I think you've got it all.
That's me. All right. This is a fun one. You're going to love this question. Matt okay. R. Jacobson wants to know, bring out our crystal balls. We always do every show. And predict where we're drafting these players in 2022 drafts. I love this question.
Okay.
Julio Urias, where you think you were drafting? Give me a round.
Oh, boy.
Say 12-team mixer. Let's just put it out there.
Okay, well, I'll assume that he gets even better this year. I will go at an inning 7th round.
I was going to say high 6, end of 7, somewhere. Okay, Andrew Vaughn.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go...
8, 9.
Yeah, I want to be so much more bullish. I want to be like 6, because he's going to explode, but I think you're right. Maybe 8 or 9.
All right, Dylan Cease. I think he's still pretty far off. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
We'll be talking about him in the sleeper next year. Clint Frazier? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was? Clint Frazier?
Yeah, Clint Frazier's the next one.
Clint Frazier, I think, is going to be like a 10th round pick. I don't see the explosion, but yeah. I think if he gets the everyday right. job, he's going to be
I think
there.
10 or 11. Yep. This next one, Victor Robles. I'll go first. 4th round. He's going to go back to being a 4th round guy. You watch.
If you're in Joe's league, it's a 1st round pick, very obviously. I'll say 5th. I think he's going to bounce back for sure.
And last one, Luis Severino coming off Tommy John.
Oh, God. This is so difficult to know. But I think if he does come back at the end of the year and he proves that he's healthy, he's going to be probably a 4th round pick. And I'm betting on him. So if he shows he's healthy, I think people are going to be buying in.
All right. We got a couple. Let's do them all because he asked the question I want to try to get to. Are Guerrero, I assume you mean Vlad Jr., Vladimir, right? Not Pedro Guerrero. Okay. Yes. Are Guerrero and Alvarez still good keeper options, or should I let them go? Yes, of course they are. Yes. Don't let them go now. Now is the worst time to let them go because they're going to end up being great and they're still young on somebody else's team and you're never going to forgive yourself. So do not. This is the wrong time to let go of them. They still have value. They still have upside. They're still sub 25 years old. You'd be crazy to let go of them. Hold on to them now. Are you in agreement on this? And this is from STESUP. So I guess that's STESUP.
All right, STESUP. Look, I mean, context is that context matters. Can you keep them forever? Is there a cost associated with them? But the bottom line is that I have very little doubt that both are going to be productive players, very productive players, elite players at some point in the next couple of years. So I would be trying to hold on to them. Yes, I agree.
All right, one more here before we play our little games. Is it crazy to draft Bauer over Bieber in a points league?
I mean, I guess it's not crazy, but
what are you trying to prove?
What is Bauer going to do that Bieber isn't? Like, Bieber's an innings guy as well. I don't see the point of it. So, it's crazy.
Yes. It is there crazy. Don't do crazy. It. Yep. I don't want you to do it. That's a bad idea. Why? Just so you can watch the Trevor Bauer show? No.
I could see an innings sort of thing, but Bieber gives you innings, so who cares? I mean,
Bieber gives you everything. I mean, yeah. God. All right, let's. The Biebs. I can't wrap my mind around that. All right, let's play a little game. We'll close things out here. A little fun. Would you rather? It's very simple. Oh, I ask you a question. You make a choice. I love the tension in Dan's face.
And this is why you watch us every time
on Fantasy Pros MLB. When have I ever not taken care of you? I've never.
You do. You don't. You always have. You always have. I'm sorry.
I always walk the line. That's why people love you. Walk the line. You don't cross the line. You just walk it. All right. Would you rather at the ball game, beer or helmet sundae?
Oh, God. Well, I'm sorry to have to admit this probably for the first time on a podcast. I don't drink beer. So it is clearly the helmet sundae. But helmet sundae would beat almost everything else anyway. So helmet sundae.
Look, I'm not a beer at the ballgame guy. I know it's going to shock everybody. I like beer. I'm a bit of dude. You know, it's
like
fine.
$12 at a ball game. But it's
like,
man.
I got a $15, Miller Lite. That's not really I'm not excited about that. The helmet sundae I'm excited about. Plus I get to take the helmet home.
Exactly.
And I got a whole collection of helmets just like this.
There it is.
And then you bring them home and you can make your own sundaes with your kids and it's fun. And everybody, ice cream just tastes better in a helmet. It's just a fact of life. All right. Correct. See, this is easy. All right. Second one. Listen carefully here. I don't want you to get confused. So listen carefully. Correct. Would you rather be right about a player being bad on your own team? So in other words, this is like an ego question.
I got it.
In other words, I was right. I knew he'd be bad. I drafted him anyway. I knew it. I was right. Or would you rather be wrong about a player being good on your rival's team?
I guess it stinks either way.
It does stink either way.
So I'd rather be right. I'd rather be right about the fact, which, by the way, happens all the time. All the time I'm in a draft, it's like, the value's too good. I guess I got to take him, but I think this guy stinks. And then he stinks. And I'm like, all right, at least I value myself as an analyst. But yes, I'll go with that one.
I like that. All right, last one. I know we're running out of time here. Okay, would you, and this kind of comes, you know, full circle with the mailbag. Would you rather drive around for an entire season in an old school bullpen cart? You know, like the old carts from the 70s and 80s?
Of course.
With the hat on top of them, yes. Usually of the team. For a whole season. I mean, you got to like drive it in public, go to the grocery store. You got to do all your errands, all that stuff. Or would you, for an entire season, have to watch every single Trevor Bauer YouTube video recap of how his day went?
Oh, goodness. It shows you how little I would want to watch those videos, because I live in New England and driving around in that bullpen cart in the winter is going to be real terrible. But yes. I would rather...
Well, no, it's just for the baseball season.
Oh, so just for the baseball? Okay. Oh,
it's just for the season.
Forget it. We're not close, by the way. Maybe it's embarrassing to be driving around in that bullpen cart, but Tom Berenger did it in Major League to track down Rene Russo, and it was a great scene.
And he got her.
And also, I walk around in pajama pants in public all day because I don't care what people think of me, so I am good to embarrass the heck out of myself. Bullpen cart all day.
All right. I'm going to go bullpen cart also because I can't stand to watch the Trevor Bauer videos anymore. You know what my favorite thing about the whole process was? The transparency. They said the word transparency every 5 seconds and you didn't learn a damn thing about anything. It was just the most completely transparent lack of transparency I've ever seen. But if you take a shot every time they said transparency, you enjoy the video anyway.
Pretty drunk, yeah.
Now, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. I want to remind everybody, too, Fantasy Baseball Fest tomorrow, Friday the 12th, big goings on, noon Eastern. Go to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros MLB. Again, it's not the regular one. For all the NFL content, it's the MLB one, so specifically go there, subscribe, and click. Also, want to remind everybody, go to our website as well for the Pristine Auction giveaway. It's the Juan Soto autographed jersey. Very easy to get that. Just go over there to fantasypros.com/MLB contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/MLB contest. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Want to thank them, as always, for being a part of the show. And, of course... you've got the sleeper articles, too, going on there, too. So a new sleeper article with 25 more sleepers. Oh, so many sleepers, so little time. All this talk of sleeping's got me exhausted. I'm going to take a nap. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris, I'm Joe Pisapia. We'll see you next time, kids.